Welcome to the Onyx Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and we are diving into the next tier here of the wide receivers. I don't have a great name for this one. Durable wide receivers who are tough to pick between. It's really kind of the best way to describe these guys. I'll be honest with you, this one, like, I almost was hyperventilating when I was going through some of the comps in this tier. And you're going to notice that one of the players in this range looks nothing like the other. Okay, so hint, this is kind of the AOD special of the year. I can't really, I can't really get around how good Deontay Johnson's comps look. Like, it's pretty remarkable. I will say a couple of things. Number one, he rolls out of bed and gets 140 targets in a year. Like, it is a remarkable profile. Given where he is at, he literally rolls out of bed and gets 140 targets. And it was a buck 41 last year. And frankly, it was a down year for him. He's had an extension. He had 139 in 2020, 166 in 2021, and then 141 last year. All right. So, I mean, a buck 41 or a buck 39 and above, right? That's what he has rolled out of bed doing the past 3 years. Those don't grow on trees. Okay. Those don't grow on trees. I'll say a couple of things about his profile, I think. He looks different than the guys in this range. And the guys in this range, I'll just flush it out here and and you'll see why I think he looks different than the guys in his range. A.J. Brown, CeeDee Lamb, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jalen Waddle. Okay. Deontay Johnson is remarkably different than those guys in his market value. You go over to Fantasy Calc, for example, and you're looking at a player who is down in the wide receiver 30 area behind luminaries like Marquise Brown, George Pickens, Treylon Burks, who I like, I'm not disparaging, but like vastly different. And then you look at the other guys in this range, Lamb 3, Brown 4, Waddle 6, Amon-Ra St. Brown 8. Deontay Johnson doesn't fit neatly in a tier. Season-long innings eaters, like that's just not what he's capable of. The man finished 6th in targets per game, 6th in targets overall at the wide receiver position last year. Not an innings eater, right? Not an innings eater. Plenty capable of high level production. Okay. That is not an innings eating profile. That is a depressed, high potential scoring profile. I think there's a couple of things you could point to and say he doesn't belong here. Okay. I have done the Deontay Johnson bit. I'll read it to you a little bit more just so you get it if you haven't listened to other podcasts. I've done this a couple different times with him, and I keep coming back to the fact that he just screams undervalued. And ultimately, like, if you miss, I don't think the miss is that big. Okay, I don't think – I think that's really the lesson here. The miss isn't that big. Finished 32nd in overall scoring in 2022 at 10.4 points per game, which was good for wide receiver 48. Again, if this sounds like I'm hallucinating, bear with me, because this probably isn't the Jordan that you're used to on wide receivers. 7.3 points per game is the difference between like him and CeeDee Lamb last year. It's about a win, okay? However, he's basically performing at the tail end of possible variance for him. 147 targets, 8.6 targets per game. That ranked 6th in the league behind CeeDee Lamb. When you start looking at some of the stuff, very similar to Lamb. Similar ADOTs. you know, Johnson's a little bit less separation. I think that shows up a little bit in his PFF grade, if you were to look at it. I think the quarterback for a guy like CeeDee Lamb is better. I don't think Kenny Pickett is a awful quarterback. This is going to be one of those situations with Kenny Pickett where he's basically the opposite of Justin Fields in ways that I think is exploitable. It's not necessarily exploitable for scoring purposes, right, at the quarterback position. However, I do think it is exploitable in his performance for his supporting cast. Okay, I've comped Justin Fields, and I've just done it on a purely passing basis. Okay, when you look at some of the stuff with him, not good, right? There's a lot of bad comps there. Basically, his second year stats, like the only guy that looks like him from a passing perspective that was like high level successful was Matt Ryan. Other than that, his comps are largely busts. You know, again, it's not a huge sample size either, but that kind of gives you an idea going back, like not a great set of comps. When you look at Pickett though, like middle of the position in PFF passing grade, for example, it was 6.2 yards per attempt, which is underperforming. You know, that's probably some drop rate stuff, right? Maybe some scheme stuff. You know, just some underperformance, I think, overall in the offense. But when you look at it, not a horrible, profile, right? Way better than a guy like Fields, for example, way better than, some of the other grades, like way better than Watson in terms of PFF grade, even though the yards per attempt were similar. Like the Pickett stuff, I think with him, like even the big time throws and some stuff like that, like, again, top 12, 15, 20, sort of in that range, consistently showing up of guys, you know, there's about 40 of them. Like, you absolutely take that as a passer, as a rookie. 100% you take that. Okay, so I think that's a little bit of it. I think there's some fluky things that went on with Deontay Johnson. But overall, I don't think the quarterback is a huge drag on him. Okay, it didn't go well last year. I think we'll get into that a little bit. You know, some of the stuff with the touchdown variance, for example. Like, if he scores a handful of touchdowns last year instead of scoring literally zero, I think we are thinking about him vastly different. And again, that's just some serious variance that happens there. So that's kind of the pitch for him, right? I think you can look at this from a couple of other ways as well. The other guys in this tier are probably better than him. I think a couple of things are really important. He ends up running like 98 percentile routes per dropback. So he's a really high volume guy. That helps him. For example, Waddle only 82% last year. I think he missed a game in there as well. Amon-Ra St. Brown. No, I'm sorry. Waddle played every game. But routes per dropback, like there's a difference there, right? 95, almost 96% of dropbacks, Deontay Johnson's running out, 82% for Waddle, right? That's a little bit of the difference there. Again, if that goes up for Waddle, he's going to probably trounce Deontay Johnson. But Deontay Johnson, pretty high volume, every down innings eater. Amon-Ra St. Brown, similarly, not all the way up there in terms of the same route participation, about 77% of routes he was participating in. Again, he missed a game, so that's some of that number. So overall, Deontay Johnson playing a ton, however, also targeted on a very high percentage of his routes. So in his career, Deontay Johnson has been targeted on... has a 93rd percentile targets per route run in his career, and has been targeted on basically 24.5% of his routes. It's very good as well. Some of the open route stuff as well. He's always open, right? His number is very high on open routes run. So I think overall pretty encouraging there in some of the underlying metrics. Now you might say, like, how do you underperform as bad as you did last year? like shit happens is kind of one of the things. However, when you just boil back some of the metrics, like again, I just kind of like looking at per opportunity metrics and looking at some of the some of the variance that goes along with that, right? In terms of expected points per route run for this tier, again, we're talking Waddle, Amon-Ra St. Brown, CeeDee Lamb, AJ Brown. Okay, expected points per route run. It's 0.53 for Amon-Ra St. Brown. Freak show, by the way. Like, again, I think he's in the conversation that begins at 3. There's a handful of, like, these guys are probably, most of them in this conversation. Johnson is not. But these other guys, like, that's where the conversation should be around that group. And Amon-Ra St. Brown shows up right there with all of them. So just for what that's worth. 0.53 expected points per route run for Amon-Ra St. Brown. 0.48 for CeeDee Lamb. 0.44 for A.J. Brown. 0.42 for Jalen Waddle. 0.41 for Deontay Johnson. Right there with Waddle and A.J. Brown in expected points per route run. When you look at the difference, Waddle, a shade over. His expected points per route run, he was at 0.50, so that's a good overperformance there. Amon-Ra St. Brown, slight overperformance. He was at 0.55 points per route run with an expectation of 0.53. CeeDee Lamb, 0.53 points per route run. Again, slightly over his expectation, 0.53 for A.J. Brown. So all of them basically overperformed their expectation. Deontay Johnson massively underperformed his, okay? I think that's a stat that bounces back because I think touchdown rate is a stat that bounces back. I think some of the efficiency with the quarterback stuff as well, that stuff bounces back. Deontay Johnson also does not have a drop problem, right in line with guys like CeeDee Lamb in terms of drops. Not particularly concerning. That was a concern early on in his career. That stuff's variant from year to year. Wasn't a problem last year. That wasn't really the issue. I think if you were to point to the issue on why Deontay Johnson underperformed, it's Pickett. It's some offensive efficiencies are certainly a problem. He grades worse than these guys in PFF. I think that's probably part of it. You know, when you look at, it's really grading your performance on targets. And he gets targets at a high rate, but graded worse than these guys did. Right, so I think that's probably your big takeaway if you were to say, like, what's the knock on him from an actual performance perspective instead of just, you know, we'll call it how he scored perspective from last year. I think you'd say, hey, he doesn't grade at the same level as these guys do. Good, not great. I think that's really the difference. But it's more than paying for itself in terms of the difference in cost. So I think that's, like, he doesn't belong neatly in a category because he's not coming off this huge, huge performance. However, when you even go look further, I always sort of check myself against some of these things and say, all right, what's the, you know, what's my comp engine say, right? The AOD player comparison engine, which is up running, it's got all updated stats in it for this year. What's it say? Well, it's always usually pretty pessimistic on players, right? I tend to think, like, it's a good dose of reality, right? Is a good way to think about it. And one of the things when I go and look at the comps, a lot of things I will point to and I'll say, like, all right, you're getting a good intersection of the reality that the hit rates aren't super high, right? There's not a ton of density, and we probably overstate it, right? I think that's a pretty fair characterization of fantasy in general, right? We probably overstate how certain we are. That's, I think, one of the big things that you'd point to and say the comp engine highlights, right? When you look at the comp engine, loves Deontay Johnson, okay? Using his targets per route run, his target share, and his yards per route run last year. So his targets per route run, again, it's at 23%. His target share was 29%, and his yards per route run was 1.44. His comps, 9 out of 10 of them hit the next year. for a top 24 seasonal finish. Again, so already you're like, that's really good, right? That's really good. When you look at them as well in terms of like top half hits over the next 3 years, they average 1.5. Again, average 1.5. Multiple hit guys that hit for top 12 seasonal finishes in the next 3 years, 70% of his receiving comps did, and 50% of them hit multiple times. Points per game average for this upcoming year, his comps, right? What would his comps say for this upcoming year? It would be 16.6 points per game. And right, that is a really robust number. On average, a top half hit projected in 2023 and 2024, like those 2 years, you'd expect a top half hit based on his comps. So that's a top 12 seasonal finish. Those are elite comps. His comps, Braylon Edwards is like the sole miss in this. By the way, all of these guys have a hit on their resume, and especially the guys with multiple hits perform better, no surprise. His comps, based on his metrics and his age, Braylon Edwards, Jarvis Landry, Dez Bryant, Dwayne Bowe, DeAndre Hopkins from 2017, Antonio Brown from 2014, Diggs from 2019, Brandon Marshall from 2010, Brian Hartline, who was actually one of the sort of lower ceiling players of this group, and Julio Jones in 2015. Elite set of comps. I think when you look at that, you have to be pretty encouraged. It backs up in terms of how he fits in some of the expectation stuff from this year. It backs up in terms of like, what do you excel at? Being involved in the offense and being targeted at a really high rate, right? Those things for Deontay Johnson, points come from volume. And I think that from target volume. And you look at him, high participant, really good rate of targets per route run. And as a result of that, 140 targets sort of rolling out of bed, his number is going to regress back towards its mean. I think the DeAndre Hopkins, his like that number there, when it was that 2017 season, he kind of had like that down year and really ended up bouncing back. Like, he's one of those guys that that following season, 20.8 points per game. That was a wide receiver one overall finish. Okay, there's a couple guys in here north of 19.5. There's a 20.8, a 23.6, a 23.2 points per game in the following year. Like, really awesome production. So I think all of that is to say the comp engine doesn't typically like players the way we think they should. You know, the way I think the market is sort of gung-ho on players, the comps love Deontay Johnson. So super optimistic there. Again, you're getting him at wide receiver 30. That is a smash, right? He should be above that. This is a classic case of like him as the Tyler Lockett to George Pickens as a poor man's version of DK Metcalf. Like, this has got Seattle's wide receiving core of a couple years ago kind of written all over it, is how this is. So that is really the case for him to belong in this tier. Again, I don't think he fits neatly because he's not an innings eater. He's not. He's got higher ceiling than an innings eater. When you look at the targets, for example, of the innings eater group, they're even a couple years older. When we'll get to that group, right? It's Keenan Allen. It's Mike Evans. They're a little bit older, not the same level of target potential, I don't think, right? But Deontay Johnson, just a different level. And this is a guy who had 10-plus targets a game a couple years ago, right? So, I mean, this is a really, really high-level player. Not a fluke to get that level volume. So, really encouraged by that. You know, and 96th percentile in his career of targets per route run. I mean, excellent. Excellent production. the lone sort of knock on him, it's a little bit lower in yards per route run. Probably has something to do with the quarterback play, right? Roethlisberger and then Pickett, you know, and coming in with a rookie quarterback and a quarterback that basically wouldn't, you know, who had lost it by the time he was really playing with Deontay Johnson. You know, I think he's finally got a quarterback heading in the right direction. Let's put it that way. I think that's the easiest way to probably put it. So I'm hopeful that his PFF grade jumps a bit. And I think that all of his underlying metrics point to a player that is seriously undervalued. All right, now let's talk about the other four. You got A.J. Brown, Deontay Johnson, Jalen Waddle, Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think you could put them in a hopper and kind of change them around. And again, it's really tough to pick guys in this range, would sort of be what I would say. I like them all. A.J. Brown's the one that's like the absolute phenom in terms of like yards per route run at 2.6. You know, that's like almost a half yard more per route run than Jalen Waddle. It is a half a yard more per route run than both Lamb and St. Brown. So that's really he's the sort of mega producer, mega efficiency guy, 99th percentile career PFF grade as well. So again, basically across the board, you have a smash player. I think when you start looking at some of these guys, you might say like, you're really kind of trying to thread needles when you're picking between these guys, which is kind of the definition of this tier. It's really tough to pick between these guys. If you force me to pick one, I'm probably picking A.J. Brown. That's probably who I'd pick as being the next guy up, nearly like wide receiver three. If gun to my head had to do it, he is a couple years older than both Lamb and St. Brown. He's 1 year older than Jalen Waddle. Again, a couple of years more experience than both St. Brown and Waddle. So you got kind of that going with it. You know, Lamb's got the highest like dynamic density, for example, but St. Brown the lowest. But I do think like the St. Brown comps are different, right? They are just a bit lower. Just by the nature of his pedigree. So when you look at all of that, like, I don't know, I'm pretty bullish on the tier in general. The question then becomes is like, all right, how do you make the pivot? There's a couple of ways I think you could make a pivot into this range. Like, you're probably not drafting them, right? Would sort of be the catch here. You know, if you're not playing in a premium format for tight ends, right, if you're playing in start one quarterback, like this is a good place to hit. You know, this is going to be like borderline first round guys, almost all of them. Amon-Ra St. Brown's at 17 according to a fantasy calc, 13 for Waddle, 7 overall for A.J. Brown, 4 for Lamb. So I would kind of think in that, like, if I was going to go this tier, like you could really do two of them. You could do kind of like Brown and then St. Brown. Right? Those are two gettable guys, like mid-first round, if you're thinking of that. But if you're playing in Superflex, which a lot of us are, again, A.J. Brown's like 1-2 turn. I have a hard time doing that. So is Lamb. They're right next to each other. I got a hard time doing that. Waddle mid-first. Again, if it's non-tight end premium and you sort of want to go wide receiver in that range, I get it. I think probably the play that I would say if you're doing like a non-tight end premium and you want to go run and you want to go receiver early, so if you want to go quarterback, you know, let's say two quarterbacks and a wide receiver in the first three rounds, I think kind of what you're looking to do is, you know, you're kind of hoping to get a shot at a guy like Watson or Prescott mid second round, and then sort of right around the 2-3 turn, you're getting Amon-Ra St. Brown. So that's probably going to require a trade up to get all those guys is the thought, you know, and then you kind of look down. I think if you're sort of going that route, right, kind of let's say early first in or mid first into like mid second, which would be like the Prescott Deshaun Watson tier, and then down to like the third round, that's more of like the Drake London where he's kind of falling in drafts. So I think that's one way to you're probably more likely to go than being able to nab one of these guys. I think you're going to take one of these guys in super flex, you're going to have to sort of sacrifice quarterback two, and I'm not necessarily willing to do that. So love the guys in the tier. I don't necessarily love the startup plan to draft them outside of Deontay Johnson. I do think consolidating up makes a lot of sense. You know, if you want to consolidate from a guy like T. Higgins up, I don't have T. Higgins in this tier because I think he's like a wide receiver two, which, hint, hint, has its own tier of guys. So I think I'd rather own in this tier. You know, Waddle is sort of a wide receiver too. He's almost like a 1A, 1B type situation with Hill. Just there's not really a third guy there that's a big threat, so it can consolidate into him enough that I feel a little bit more confident than maybe a guy like T. Higgins, for example, just in terms of like the high-end sustainable volume. So that's kind of the difference there in terms of how they get up in here. So action plan, right? Consolidate up the board. These are good landing spots, right? And if you can't sort of go, I think these are good to very good team, right? Great team type upgrades, go for it. If you're struggling, right? If you lack, usable players in your starting lineup, for example, if you're really struggling in terms of your scoring against the league, probably not places that I would pay to upgrade, right? That is not typically something that makes a big difference for your wide receiver, right? You got to stay optimized roster spots. Like when you really struggle, your goal is to kind of get away with, filling those receiver spots with guys like Tyler Lockett, as opposed to consolidating up, creating more holes on your roster to get a guy like Amon-Ra St. Brown. Again, love Amon-Ra St. Brown. You just can't have everything. So that's kind of the angle there. Love the tier. Again, A.J. Brown's sort of the oracle of efficiency. Like he's like the 100th percentile, 99th percentile, 97th percentile guy. He's just different of this crew, but all of them are excellent. Again, I think Amon-Ra St. Brown has as good of a argument as any of these guys. And again, he's a couple years younger than A.J. Brown is. So I think he is he's exceptional. Again, it depends what you value. You know, they come in a little bit different size, shapes, and forms, like all of them. I think my two favorites of the tier, outside of obviously Deontay Johnson at his price, if I had to go with two of them, I think I'd go with Brown and St. Brown. I think any case is justified. I think the overall lesson is I probably wouldn't take wide receiver three. I'd probably wait until 6, 7, 8, 9, something like that, and grab one of these guys, right? That would sort of be the play. So I hope that helps. Again, I'm in a bit of a crush on Deontay Johnson phase of my offseason. So you're going to have to forgive me. I'm probably going to bring this back up, but I really like the comps. And again, I don't think he necessarily fits cleanly into this because he's different in terms of cost, but I do think he has the same like volume level, which is really, really compelling from the price with which he is currently going. So that is going to do it here for this edition. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We're going to talk again very soon.